I'm excited to share this study with you. The book of Ephesians has a very, sentimental part in my own life. Some of the favorite books, I mean, when I look at the Bible, I think my favorite book is Romans. I just love the book of Romans. And then when we did a study of the Gospel of John, that's right in there too. And all of a sudden I'm in Ephesians and I'm thinking, oh, I love this book. But I guess why it's special for me, I think I've shared the story with you before, but as a young person, you know, I was raised in the church, you know, and a pretty staunch, you know, a kind of reformed church and everything. And you know, I was liked. I didn't rebel against it and so forth. But then going into the ministry, now, you know, I'm thinking about making this my life's career, you know, being a pastor of a church. So in our seminary, you had 2 years of seminary training. Then you could go 1 year for an internship and then return again your final year. Well, on that internship, I was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and a very large, I was a dynamic church pastor, was a radio pastor of the Reformed Church in America, and so he was a very biblically astute person and very well-spoken and so forth. But when I got into the inner workings of the church, I thought to myself, am I going to spend my whole life doing this? You know, I mean, it just didn't grab me, and I struggled with it, and you know, and you know, I was very much influenced by a group called Navigators. That's much like Campus Crusade and InterVarsity and so forth. Navigators, scripture memory and Bible study and evangelism was a real part of what of my background, and I just loved it. So I kind of thought coming back from that, I don't know if I really want to be a pastor of a church. I think maybe we'll just go Navigators and do what they're doing, because that was so much more fun. It was like being part of the Green Beret, you know. And so I come back, and we had this class in Ephesians, and it was taught by a professor from Germany. I mean, he had a German brogue. It was so difficult to understand him. So I must have been sitting there at the edge of my seat trying to catch all of what he was saying. But somehow I started reading and studying the book of Ephesians. What is the church? It's what is it? What's God's plan? What's he doing here? And my whole perspective changed. Because, you know, so often we get caught up with church in the sense of denomination and institution and organization, and you see the hierarchy and you see all that kind of stuff, and I can see why many people today are turned off by church. You know, they look at it and say, oh, church, you know, give me Christ and Christianity, but don't give me church and churchianity. You know, this kind of a thing. And I can sympathize with that. I can say, you know, I understand that. But when you understand the church from God's perspective, my goodness, you realize, what is the church? Why has it been put together? And now this first chapter that you're going to be dealing with next week is probably the most difficult chapter that you will have in this study. I'll start you off with, you know, with really good stuff. The theology, I mean, you're going to read this and say, whoa, we're going to talk about election. We're going to talk about predestination. You're going to look at God's plan from before the foundation of the earth. And you're going to have to struggle with that. You're going to wrestle with it. And I want you to, and don't just come up with, you know, easy answers. What does the text say? And so really, once you begin to wrestle with this thing, you're going to come realize that there's something so much more here, that the church is not God's plan B. Now understand what I'm saying here. There are some, you know, denominations, this may be part of your denomination, but I'm going to challenge you with this. Some people have the idea that here God's plan throughout the ages all was Israel, 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 and all of a sudden now Israel rejected the Messiah, so God had to go to plan B. And here was the church. The church is here for a bunch of years, raptured out. Now God continues his plan, his original plan with Israel. Now, if you come with that same conclusion after you study Ephesians, you're going to have to explain to me how you come to that same conclusion. Because as I read the book of Ephesians, you realize God's plan from the foundation of the earth was this living, dynamic organism called the body of Christ, where Jew and Gentile come together and have a relationship with God through Jesus. It is not about Jews and Gentiles, it's about Jew-Gentile making up what is called the church. The church. So, you know, really wrestle with this, look at it, study it. And I think when you get into it, something else is going to grab you. And for me, I look at verses chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 as being the theme of what's going on here. The theme in the whole book. Because listen to what it says here. We'll deal with this more next week. But it says this. And he, God, made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment. Now, what is this plan? Time fulfillment. What is this all about? Well, here's the plan. To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under the headship even of Christ. So you understand now that this is God's plan. And for me, I really hope you have a sense as a conclusion of studying this book that if you're part of the church, you're just not part of some religious little organization here in Tecula. In a big picture, you're part of the church, the living body of Christ. And we have our different little flavors, little different organizations, how we approach things. But together, God has a master plan. You got to know what it is, because you and I are part of that. That we are a part of God's plan to bring this division between heaven and earth and bringing it together in Jesus Christ. And we're a part of that. And I hope also as you're studying this book, you realize that Ephesians really is a book of praise and worship of God. That third verse, and you'll see it through this first chapter, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I mean, and then he says, I don't know, now let me explain to you what this is. And he gets into it, we get into that next week. But he keeps coming back and he says, now, you get it? When you get it, all you can say is, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. that's basically all you can do, because it is beyond our comprehension. So this is a fantastic book. So first of all, when you read the letter of Paul, it's a praise to God for his marvelous plan and for his marvelous work. And then in the heart of this letter, he reveals this mystery, the mystery of God's will. And we're going to talk about this whole thing of mystery. What kind of mystery is this anyway? And I think you're going to really, you know, look into this. So then we've got to realize that the whole book is dealing with the fact that we're part of a people of God to bring this division. There is disharmony. And we know that as Christians, sin has come into the world. Well, Paul really brings us out in this particular chapter. There's this rift, the division, this disharmony. And in explaining all this, you realize that there is a spiritual warfare going on. You've got to see the big picture. See the big picture. And in this whole thing, Paul introduces us to concepts like the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the objects of God's wrath. He'll talk about foreigners to the covenant's promise. Talk about without hope, without God in the world. We'll be talking about powers, principalities and powers, spiritual forces of evil in heaven realms. I mean, that's the picture that we have got to get a hold of. That there is this kind of spiritual disharmony and what God has done. how God brought order. It's there. The king has come, you know, his kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. How does it come to begin with? And how will it come in its fulfillment? But the point is, we live in a divided world. But then, what is God's plan? Well, it's the whole theme. How is God going to bring this back together again? Jesus Christ. Through the church. The church. Marvelous. The church. And this division, you get into chapter 2. Just take a look with me for a moment at your outline. Just look at the table of contents. You know, the study, you've got the contents there. Just look. This is kind of how I've worked it through, divided it into its segments. We'll be looking, first of all, the creation of the body. Okay, then the consecration of the body. Notice as Paul explained this fantastic plan of God, and he bursts out into prayer. He just has to pray. Oh, you have to say, God, you're amazing. Okay, so we'll look at that's the second one. Third one, then we're going to see what kind of stuff God had to work with to make this body become real. And we suddenly realize we are children of God's wrath under the impact and power of Satan. And then the beautiful little words come in verse 5 or something like that in chapter 2. It says, but God. I love that. But God. This is what it was, but God. God didn't leave it there. He steps in. So we look at this amazing grace, what we were, how God changed it, and why God did it, and how we are included. That all be in the third lesson. And then the amazing thing is here's this master plan. This is what God had to work with individually. Now, looking at society, you realize there's divisions, Jew and Gentile, Jew and Gentile. So what does he do? He brings it all together into becoming one body. It'll be the rest of chapter 2. Then you get into chapter 3. That's lesson number 5. Now we're going to look at the mystery of the unity. Now Paul's going to talk about this mystery. What is this mystery of God? So we look at the exposed, expressed, and then explained. And then the next one, we look at, again, Paul goes through all of this again. Goes into prayer. Oh, he's got to pray. Lord, and then who he prays for and how he prays. And it's just going to be a great study for that. And then once you understand all the theology of what the church is, what it consists of, then the question is, how then shall we live as the church? We appreciate Paul. He builds the theology, and then he says, let's express it into shoe leather. This is who we are. This then is how you live. To the praise of his glory. This is how you live, knowing that the presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ is now in our midst. Okay, so we'll be looking at chapter 4, which is lesson number 7, God's pattern for the church. And then he starts talking about the basics of living that new life. You got the old life and the new life and the transformation of the mind. And then we've talked about some of these things in other lessons. We'll deal with that. And then chapter 5, which is lesson number 9, living in love and light. Okay, so now this is who you are. You know this. How then do you live in the world around you? Well, live holy, blameless lives. This is how we do it. And if we are to do this, the very next lesson, now how then is it lived in family relationship? We're going to talk about husband-wife relationship. We're going to talk about child-parent relationship. We're going to talk about employer-employee relationship and all these kind of things. How do we live it in society? And then in chapter 6, we'll get into that part. You realize now that we're wrestling against principalities and powers. There's principalities and powers. So literally, Paul takes us to a Christian boot camp. A Christian boot camp. Because we've got to figure out how to put on the armor of God. Okay? How then do we deal with the world in which we live? And we need to understand this. Because our old nature, you know, when push comes, I want to shove, right? Isn't that right? When stuff comes our way, I mean, we listen to all these politicians and stuff that's going on, persecution, man, we want to get back at them. We're going to say, we'll show them who they are. And then we forget. How are Christians to deal with this? put on the armor of God. You know, and what have you got? You got faith as a shield. You got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you better learn how to pray. You better learn how to pray. And I think sometimes we'll talk much more about that. It's so easy for us to say, "Well, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you." Yeah, right. Sounds good. Or the way a lot of people, unchurched people say, "Well, my thoughts are for you." My thoughts. See, my thoughts have a lot of power. You know that, don't you? And we got to realize something else. We say prayer works. Oh, who does the work? Your prayer? God works. God wants you to talk to Him about what's going on. But prayer is very important. But it's God who works. So you better know who this God is, what His promise, what He made available. So it's going to be very, very exciting, I think, a very exciting study together. But again, I have said to you before, sometimes some of you have read the questions, they say, "What were you thinking, Pastor Steve?" You know, and I have to confess, this is kind of a joke around our table over there. Rich likes to needle me and he'll say, "Steve, what were you thinking about over here?" I mean, and I'll say, "Man, I don't know myself. What was I thinking?" You know, so, but again, try to walk and work through the kind of questions, and I haven't made these questions easy. I want you to think. I want you to meditate. I want you to pray about these things. And don't leave it for the last, Wednesday's here. Well, here's, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. You think, "Well, I'll whip through it on Wednesday morning before I get there." Don't do that. Please. Oh, you get up early on Wednesday morning. Okay, fine. I hope you take segments at a time throughout the week and don't leave for the last minute, because I think there's just too much there. There's just too much there. And I really want this to be a very, very exciting, exciting study for you. So take time to pray. Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to make clear to you an understanding of not only who you are as the Church of Jesus Christ, but also how He's called you to represent Him. Because we're in this together, Sure, we're a branch of community church, which is a little club over here. No, wait a minute. We're a segment of God's master plan. So what can we be doing in God's master plan to do what His ultimate goal is, to bring the authority of heaven on earth in person of Jesus Christ? How do we participate in that? So, like I say, next week, probably the toughest lesson you're going to deal with. It'll really force you to think and question, but you're going to have a good time. Yes, ma'am. Carol. Because I just saw you, I saw that lovely hand go up, and I knew right away. It's Carol.
Could you allow extra time at the end for questions?
Yes.
Sometimes we run out.
I will.
Because
yes.
I, for one, come from a different place than you, because you've studied it, you've heard it, you've walked it, you've talked it. And now
you trying to tell me something?
You're more important.
I don't think as deep as you. So these questions come around, and then I feel stupid to ask them.
Don't you dare feel stupid to ask them.
Yeah, how about dumb?
Well, you're not stupid, you're not dumb. You ask them, okay? Because we've all been there, me included. So, yeah, please do. I will do my best to do that, because I'll structure it a little more on a question answer kind of basis, where you've done your work, and rather than me just sitting out here and lecturing, kind of listen and say, "All right, what are some conclusions? What have you wrestled with? What are some things that are unsettled?" So I'll gladly do that.
"Carol, what is the answer to da 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 da?" I would freeze.
Okay.
And I would say, "What are you talking about?"
You got a tough friend. You got a tough group over there.
I tell you,
that's. But yeah, no.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Carol. I just won't ask you. Yes, and I really appreciate that, because it's true. I Rayanne's warned me of this too, because you know, here I've studied this and I've got reading books and all this kind of stuff, so I got a bunch of stuff rolling around in my head. But that's because of a lot of years. So yes, ask your question. I'll do my best to respond to
it. And I think that what you share with us has been the most enlightening
great
knowledge that I've ever been able to
talk. I appreciate that. Great.
But yeah. I really do. I think
that's great.
I have been taught by a better teacher.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that. Thank you. I'll do my best, and I know I'll be challenged. Okay. Anything else? Okay, please. Yeah, Virge. Oh. Whatever happens in joy stays in joy. Okay.
Especially times when you're sharing around the table in prayer and stuff like that. That is very true.
Yeah,
very true. Because sometimes we share some things that are pretty personal around our tables, and it's not something we go and share with everybody. It's something that you take to the Lord and pray and uphold those people in prayer as they share around the tables. Today, obviously, we're going to be getting early. We normally get out about 11:15. So today's a short day, but next week, boy, it's going to be all there. Okay? And everybody's going to have lessons done. And remember, we always have drawings for you get to, yeah, we've got to start that again. if you get your lessons done during the week and you come here with your lesson done, you get to put a ticket into the jar. Okay, and then maybe every 3 or 4 weeks I bring something and we raffle it off to those of you who have got your lessons. So it's on an honesty system here. So, but it's also an incentive for you to actually do your lessons. And some of the things are pretty nice that we bring for gifts. and it's my joy to be able to do that also. So come next week. What time are you going to come?
Nine.
All right, good. Okay. I'll look forward to seeing you, and I love you all. And I'll let Steve pray.
All right, let's pray. Father, we want to say thank you just for our time here together. And Lord, as we open your word again, and just to let it become fresh again to us. Some of us have studied your word numerous times, and sometimes we just have the attitude, well, I know what it means. But Lord, may our prayer be, Lord, what do you want to say to me as I study this, Lord? And then we just say, open it up. Lord, Holy Spirit, just open it up to us, that we have a real sense of who you are in your greatness and majesty and the marvel of your plan of salvation and the fact that by your amazing grace, we could be a part of it. So, Lord, I just pray your blessing on this group, and may we continue to be blessings to each other. And a special prayer, Father, for Dave Barr. We realize, Lord, Dave had a seizure, and he fell. And, Lord, just be with Linda as she ministers to her precious husband. Thank you, Father. Go with us now. We give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.